Good evening and welcome. This is a youth ministry training series. This is the first webinar in that series, Introduction to Competencies for Ministry to and with Youth. Thank you so much for taking part. Next slide. I am Nancy Combs Morgan. I'm the Congregational Life Consultant, one of the Congregational Life Consultants in the Mid-America region. I'm also the Faith Development Program Manager, and I have a passion for Unitarian Universalist Youth Ministry. I am delighted tonight and honored to be co-facilitating this webinar, co-leading this webinar with my colleague, Jenica. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Thanks, Nancy. I am Jenica Davis Hockett. I am the Leadership Development Associate for the Office of Youth and Young Adult Ministries. So I run programs like Summer Seminary, Luminary Leaders, and Youth Caucus, and work with Youth Caucus staff. And I'm really excited to be doing this webinar tonight. And I'll pass it over to Kim.
Thanks, Jenica. I'm Kim Sweeney. I work for the New England region of our UUA. In the lead areas of faith formation and safe congregations work. And I will be your tech wizard tonight and will be answering all of the questions that you are able to post in the chat box. I am going to stop my video so you can focus on the slides and Nancy and Jenica, and I will be answering your questions as they come up tonight.
Let's go to the next slide. Thank you so much. Here we are virtually connecting across the continent, and it is important to set aside this time and to thoughtfully ignite our virtual chalice. From the wisdom of Reverend Erica Hewitt, let us be bold and courageous together. To encourage means to hearten, to impart strength and confidence. This is our work as a religious community, to encourage one another, to be bold in engaging the world around us. With full hearts, let us affirm our relationships with one another, and may we recognize our agency and our connective power as we accept our responsibility to be bold and courageous. We light this virtual chalice, symbol of all that we are, all that we have done together, and all that we will be, as our shared ministry encourages those within and beyond, and may it be so. Next slide, please. So you heard a little bit about who we are, and due to the number of attendees, and thank you so much for taking time and joining in, we would encourage you to use the chat box. Kim has just referenced that she'll be watching it closely. So if you would introduce yourself in the chat box right now, folks, if you would sign in and let us know who you are and where you're from, that would be lovely. So we'll take a moment to do that. I promise not to hum the Jeopardy theme while you're doing that. Hi, Robin. I won't be able to do that with everybody. We've got about 47 folks. This is wonderful. I see every single one of you. Lovely. Thank you. Our circle is widening. Ah, isn't that exciting? From coast to coast. I'm about to break into a Woody Guthrie song. No, I'm not, but this is exciting. This is wonderful. Fantastic. So do not hesitate to continue if you to make sure everybody is seen. But we're going to transition. Jenica, would you like to go to the next slide?
Yes. So vital youth ministry and resilient Unitarian Universalist youth really rely on healthy and spiritually mature adults to companion them on their spiritual journey. And companioning youth on their spiritual journey is a huge role. So I want you to think first about when you started in your youth ministry, and I know that this could be yesterday, but think about when you started in youth ministry, and did you fully comprehend the scope of what companioning youth on their spiritual journey was going to look like? I know I certainly didn't when I started in youth ministry. So Congregational Life staff and the Office of Youth and Young Adult Ministries have developed these 8 competencies for ministry to and with youth that can serve as a guidepost for adults in youth ministry to help us develop our skills as we companion youth on their spiritual journey. And we really consider this the national standard of excellence in youth ministry. So congregational life staff will be using these competencies as they work with congregations to develop excellent ministry. The Office of Youth and Young Adult Ministries will be using these competencies as we evaluate and create new resources. Religious professionals in congregations can use these competencies to hire new volunteers or staff or to evaluate existing ministry teams. And really, all adults in youth ministry can use these competencies to self-assess and identify where they need to grow and develop their skills and also assess their role on a youth ministry team. So there are three levels of competency, and the first is entry level. These are the skills that we expect adults in youth ministry to have on day one. And if they don't have the skills, then at least to have the resource to develop these skills as they enter into youth ministry. And the second is basic. And the basic competencies are really the foundation of a healthy youth ministry. And the last is advanced. And these are skills that we hope that religious professionals, long-term volunteers, and religious professionals and long-term volunteers have in serving youth ministry. So today we're just going to focus on the entry level so that you can get the breadth of all eight competencies. And then future webinars will go into each competency and go into a little more depth. As we were developing these competencies, we realized that it wasn't going to be helpful for us to come up with some mandated or prescribed models for youth ministry, because we recognize that each congregation is different and each congregation needs its own agency to be able to choose or develop, create the kind of youth ministry that works for them. So we decided to focus on training adults to have healthy relationships with youth rather than prescribing particular models of ministry. And at the same time, we recognized that youth group alone, so, you know, that hour on Sunday morning or maybe Wednesday night, whenever youth group, if you have one, is held, that youth group alone was insufficient for connecting youth to their congregation and to Unitarian Universalism. So we wanted to focus on creating good relationships, because relationships really transcend whatever particular model a congregation is using. And good relationships mean that youth ministry is everyone's ministry. Youth ministry does not just belong to youth advisors. Youth ministry also belongs to ministers and religious educators and RE teachers and coming-of-age mentors, because coming-of-age mentors are mentoring future high school youth, and bridging mentors, because bridging mentors are working with high school youth as they transition into young adulthood. And youth ministry is also the ministry of con or rally sponsors and service trip leaders, and even committee chairs or ministry team leads who have youth on their teams. Studies have shown that youth who have connections and healthy relationships with five or more adults in their congregation are more likely to stick around, basically, more likely to stay in the faith, and more likely to become healthy, spiritually mature, and resilient adults. So that was really what was at the heart of us creating these competencies, was a hope that nationally we could recognize that excellent ministry is largely about creating good, healthy relationships. I want to talk just for a second about the history of why this is so radical, why this is so awesome that we have now a national standard of excellence in youth ministry. So We used to have a national governing organizing body called Young Religious Unitarian Universalists, and that was disbanded, and a lot of congregations will still use the term YRUU to talk about their youth ministry, but that national governing body was disbanded a number of years ago, and since then, we have been in like a research and development stage about what was going to come next, what was going to be the next evolution, how are we going to really build on the legacy of YRUU. And in that R&D phase, we were doing a lot of good work. We were doing a lot of good trainings and resources and philosophies of youth ministry, but I'm going to be honest, we were doing it in a very siloed way. We were not collaborating. So the fact that last year, the Congregational Life staff, the Office of Youth and Young Adult Ministries, and the College of Social Justice joined together to form this Youth Ministry Roundtable, that is where the competencies for ministry to and with youth came from. And what's so cool is now we have, and we're able to have a national conversation using common language about what it means to do excellent youth ministry. So as we were developing these competencies, we looked at three broad categories or three broad fields. And the first was forming safe and caring relationships with youth. This is all about adults being able to be in authentic relationships with youth, being able to have good boundaries, and being able to articulate and understand and implement safe congregations policies, and being able to provide appropriate levels of pastoral care for youth, which includes knowing when to move the conversation or the situation up the chain of communication and involving supervisors. So that's the first big field, forming safe and caring relationships with youth. And the second big field that we looked at was co-creating an organized ministry that is inclusive and intergenerational. So this field really focuses on having transparent communication between youth and adults, religious professionals, other stakeholders in youth ministry, being able to do the nuts and bolts of youth ministry programming, including the administration aspects of it, and creating a welcoming and affirming community that affirms all identities of all youth. And then also focusing on the ministry team itself, being able to recognize and fulfill your role on the team. The last big field, which I would argue is absolutely the most important, is understanding and articulating the core theology of Unitarian Universalism. Nancy's going to talk a little later about the fact that everything we do in a congregation is faith formation. And that is true also of youth ministry. So it's important not only to be able to understand and articulate the core theology of Unitarian Universalism for the benefit of youth in youth ministry, but it's important to do our own spiritual development and our own work and to be able to do our own faith formation within and beyond our role in youth ministry. So those are the three large fields, and I just want to run through each of the eight competencies so that you get a sense of the breadth, and then we'll go into them in a little more depth. So the competencies that relate to forming safe and caring relationships with youth are the first three competencies. Number one is able to form healthy, safe relationship or healthy relationships and share leadership with youth. Number two is able to create a safer youth program. And the third competency is able to provide appropriate pastoral care and interventions. And I just want to take a second to mention that don't worry about typing or taking notes furiously, because we'll send out the slides and you'll have access to the video afterwards. So you can just focus on absorbing the information as we're sharing it for this moment. So in that second large field, co-creating an organized ministry that's inclusive and intergenerational, the three competencies that fit in this large field are 4, 5, and skipping ahead to 8. So the fourth competency is being able to create an inclusive youth ministry. And 5 is able to bring thoughtful, skilled communication to planning, leading, and facilitating in a youth ministry context. And 8 is able to function on a team. And in that last large, most important field of understanding and articulating the core theology of Unitarian Universalism, the competencies that fit in that field are 6 and 7. So 6 is being able to understand and use major models and contents of youth programming. And 7 is developing in self-knowledge and presence. So with that, I will pass it over to Nancy to talk about the first 3 competencies.
Friends, realizing that this is simply an introduction to the competencies, wherever you are at on your journey, it is the right place. This is an exciting time to be stepping up and to be embracing a new model, but it isn't a model. It's really about relationships and healthy self-awareness. So in our emphasis, and you're going to think, my gosh, we're repeating this a lot, it bears repeating, forming safe and caring relationships with youth, which is really about mutually respectful youth and adult partnerships in shared leadership. That is the goal. And the first competency, which there will be a webinar coming up in October, or actually, yes, it will be in October, focuses on these healthy youth-adult relationships. The message I'm hoping that you get right now is that it requires your own healthy self-awareness and dialogue with other adults in your congregation who are in youth ministry as well. Let's go to the next slide. So in being familiar with key relationship guidelines, and I'll be talking in a few minutes about some safe congregations policy approach to that, it's so important to realize that there are hopefully norms in your congregation or whatever setting that you are doing youth ministry, and making sure that you understand that there are important guidelines which really have to do with mindfulness of appropriate boundaries and making sure that you do not feel that you have to be a solo person working with youth. That is essentially also incredibly important. Those good basic guidelines really get back to covenant and how we promise and pledge to be with one another. I'm hoping in the first few sessions, if you are someone who works with a youth group, that covenant building is truly the heart of the activity of what you're doing, is how you relate to one another, how you agree to be with one another, and how you all, as adults, can then be transparent and say, I am not here to be your friend first. Yes, I will be friendly, but I have boundaries and I have a code of conduct and ethical understanding of the work that I'm doing with you. That's not off-putting to youth. I'm sure on some level it's quite reassuring. Let's go to the next slide. So again, in forming safe and caring relationships with youth, what is your safe congregations policy? It's essential that if you do not have access to or information about, it does merit your attention. I'm hoping if you are a religious educator that you're having some trainings with the folks who are on the youth group team or folks in your congregation in youth ministry where you're reviewing the expectations of those safe congregations policies. If you are a veteran youth advisor and you've been doing this 10 or 15 years, you may be surprised at some of the things that have changed. So it bears revisiting. Essentially, also, the piece around social communication, social networking, always make sure any communication that you have with youth, whether it's a text, whether it's something on Facebook, that there's always another adult that is in that message. Also, always make sure that when you're working with youth one-on-one, I mean physically in the same room, that there are at least 2 adults there. That is for your safety and protection as well as their safety and protection. This is not a liability issue, folks. This has to do with greater good and creating a sense of safety and assurance where any vulnerable youth might feel at risk does not have to worry in that setting because they're with safe and healthy, appropriate adults. Let's go to the next slide. So do you know when to reach out to your DRE minister? Maybe perhaps you think you've got this nailed, you've got this all figured out. Well, folks, sometimes something, you encounter something in a conversation with youth that truly maybe brings up a red flag for you. Perhaps the youth is sharing that they're putting themselves in a dangerous situation, or they're truly in a place where they cannot think a positive thought, or they're going through some sort of family crisis, or perhaps they're being bullied at school, or maybe it's just something, you know, that has to do with them wanting to explore a new avenue of thought. There's lots of spectrums here. You wouldn't necessarily go to your DRE or minister if your youth is wanting to explore a new theological expression, but if the youth is saying that there truly are pastoral issues going on in their lives, please, 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 talk with your DRE, talk with your minister, use a team approach. This is about love, about putting love at the center of our relationships and making sure that youth are getting the appropriate and loving responses from adults. So never hesitate. Always find a way to stay in good communication with your DRE and minister. Next slide, please. So getting back to that, becoming familiar with your congregation's safe congregation's policy, that's just the first step. It really bears a close review, especially around if an idea should pop up in youth group. We're going to go down to the lakeshore and do a recycling and cleanup. You need to know what sort of travel expectations, what sort of liability issues there are with transporting youth. You need to be aware that you are expected to sign an ethical code of conduct. Hopefully that's somewhere in the Safe Congregations policy. Also around issues of mandated reporting. I work in the Mid-America region. We have 13 states with lots of distinct different types of methods of reporting. I encourage anyone in youth ministry to consider yourself a mandated reporter, which means that you reach out to your DRE and minister. And you have clear protocols. If you find out that a youth is in a situation where they are at risk or a danger to themselves and others. So find out where your Safe Congregations policy is, find out what's the content, work with your DRE, and then you can move forward to the creative, transformative kind of work. But please do attend to that. Next slide. This is the heart. This is the pulse beat. What is your understanding of a covenantal team with other adults? And for some of you, this may be a paradigm shift. Perhaps you've had a four-member team that the only reason you get together is to calendar or to say, this is the night of the lock-in, or what do we need to do for supplies? If you truly want to be changed by the experience and grow in your own faith, having a deepening of experience with the other adults in youth ministry will serve your mind, heart, and soul. And it will also serve the youth because you are making sure that there is a deep bonding with the other adults. Also, your advocacy for safe and caring relationships with youth begins by building trust with your team, which means you all need to find some time to bond, even if that's virtually. Some teams just get together Skype once a week and just do a centering and just talk about what the joys and concerns in their heart. They don't even get to the minutia of what's going to be happening. They simply take time to bond with one another. Let's go to the next slide, and I think that that's going to be you, Jenica.
It is. Thank you, Nancy. That is so true, that taking time to actually bond with your team outside of the business aspect of youth ministry is super important. I want to talk a little bit about co-creating an organized ministry that's inclusive and intergenerational. And this point, oh my gosh, this is one of the most important points in my own ministry, is remembering that part of my role as an adult in youth ministry is to embody the message that excellent youth ministry means that everyone, youth and adults, everyone in the congregation has a spirit-filling role. Not everybody wants to be a leader. Not everybody wants to volunteer. Not everybody wants to contribute financially to the congregation. Take a second and think of a youth in your congregation who just simply doesn't want to be on the board of trustees or doesn't want to be an RE teacher or serve as a worship associate, what can the role of that youth be in your congregation? Every person in the congregation deserves to know that they have a place where they can belong and that they can bring their whole self. I think a large part of this is taking a look at the mission of your congregation and seeing how it is relevant to the youth in your congregation. And also thinking about how how your youth ministry is relevant to the mission of your congregation. And I would actually love to see some answers or continued questions on that in the chat box, and I'll check in on it in just a minute. How is the mission of your congregation relevant to youth ministry, and how is your youth ministry relevant to your congregation? I want to take a look at the eighth competency first, which is the entry level for that is understanding one's responsibility as a member of a team. And yes, youth ministry is largely about relationships, and it's also about the nitty-gritty administration aspects as well. And no one person is going to be 100% competent in everything. And hopefully that comes as a relief, that you don't have to do and be everything. Understanding your responsibility, your role as a member of a team, will benefit the entire team because you're creating a complementing structure rather than putting the burden of responsibility too much on any one person. So after this webinar, I would encourage you to either look at your own job description, or if you're a supervisor for a ministry team, to look at the job descriptions or expectations for your volunteers or your staff, and take a look at those and compare them to the competencies, and notice if what you're being asked to do fits with the level of competency that is expected of you. And think about if all the members of your team have a role that fits with their job description and fits with the competencies. I've gone too far. So have you ever had or have you ever been like a superstar volunteer in youth ministry? I know I am guilty of this at one point. And what I mean by a superstar is like very like charismatic and focusing on the building relationships with youth, but also like overcommitted, trying to take on too much and really holding all the institutional knowledge for the program, and then eventually getting burned out and leaving and taking all the institutional knowledge with them when they leave. And we're really trying to move away from putting the burden of responsibility on any one person so that a team can actually create a sustainable youth ministry that outlasts any one particular member of that team. So the understanding your responsibility on a team not only will prevent burnout, but it also allows you to honor and own your own limitations and not try to do too much and take on too much. So recognizing the importance of creating youth space that affirms all identities of all members is the entry level for the fourth competency. And we really want to co-create a ministry that's inclusive and that welcomes and affirms youth of color and white youth, youth of all ability levels, youth of all gender identities and sexualities. And we recognize that this is an aspiration, that this is an ideal, and that it's rarely, if ever, easy to do this. And depending on who you are, depending on your own background, it might be more challenging to be welcoming and affirming of youth with particular identities. So it's really, really important to do our own self-work, our own personal work, so that we can be competent companions for youth on their spiritual journeys and create a welcoming, inclusive ministry. And just like everything else, we do not have to do this alone. We're co-creating it. So, well, throughout the series, you'll hear a lot about youth-adult partnerships, and oftentimes it's referenced in terms of building leadership capacity, but this is also true in community building, that we can partner with youth to build this inclusive ministry. And what I would encourage you to do is go to UUA.org and search for the 5 steps for building community, which are bonding, opening up, affirming, stretching, and going deeper sharing or goal setting. Take a look at those 5 steps for building community and talk with the youth about these 5 steps and how to use these 5 steps throughout the year and going back to step 1 when somebody new comes to the group so that they can be partners in creating this inclusive ministry. And I would also encourage you to think with your youth more deeply about what it means to be a covenanted religion, that we are a promise-making, promise-breaking, promise-renewing people. And when we mess up, we can go back and begin again in love. Focusing, I'd say, both on the organized and the inclusive and the intergenerational aspects of the competencies, number 5, the entry level for competency number 5 is knowing how to communicate in a direct and accountable manner with youth, parents, and congregational leaders. So keeping parents and other caring adults informed, involved, and invested in the lives of youth through transparent communication in person and online is so vitally important. Oftentimes, adults in youth ministry are the de facto liaisons between groups of youth and adults in the congregation. And so it's so, so important to be able to have skillful communication that's both compassionate and have an understanding of conflict resolution as well. On another note about, and so that's one form of intergenerational relationships, being able to communicate across generations. And another level of intergenerational relationships is what I hear from youth over and over again, that they want to be seen as more than just their age in the congregation. And I'm wondering, for you and your congregation, are there places in your congregation for youth to be more than just their age? I hear over and over again that youth are really eager, they really yearn to be in relationships with adults that are not based on age, obviously, separate ages, but that are based on their other identities or based on their passions or their talents or their interests. So adults in youth ministry, while peer relationships are really important, adults in youth ministry often are able to serve as a bridge to help create those multigenerational connections as well. And I'll pass it back to you, Nancy.
Lovely. So buckle your seatbelts, folks. For those of you who know me, you've heard me say this before, and that is that youth ministry is Unitarian Universalist faith development. They are one and the same. We are called to seek to articulate our UU faith as we encounter our youth and actually Unitarian Universalists of all ages. The wisdom of Connie Goodbread and Susan Smith in creating this extremely memorable but very powerful image that everything we do is faith development and all we teach is Unitarian Universalism and the congregation is the curriculum. Often when I'm leading RE consultation workshops, I get some pushback when folks hear all we teach is Unitarian Universalism. Even as we study the world's religions, which is quite important, we need to understand that it is a Unitarian Universalist understanding of the world's religions, appreciating and honoring and making sure especially that youth understand our principles and sources, that we consider prophecy is not sealed, that wisdom comes from everywhere, including every faith tradition. But the way that we talk about it, embody it, exhibit the values as we study and then actually demonstrate our awareness all indicates that this is how we teach Unitarian Universalism. When I say the congregation is the curriculum, often folks say, our youth group has dwindled. We only have one or two youth. We don't know what to do, but we know that there's lots of youth in the congregation and families. We just don't know where they are. And I always ask them, well, look around. Are they in the fellowship hall? Are they coming with their families to a service auction? Are they coming to an Earth Day celebration? Are they showing up at the Martin Luther King March? All of those expressions, which are multi-generational, are a form of youth ministry as well as faith development. Every single aspect, including even our understanding of the architecture and grounds, there's so much richness in this, unpacking this concept. But if you get this piece, it will truly serve your understanding that it's not just about what happens in that 1 hour with the youth or the one encounter. It's really every aspect, which means that you're called to be an advocate with the rest of the congregation. It means that you're called to be in relationship with other adults on other committees and other avenues of the congregation. That means that you're called to actually attend worship and to invite youth to attend worship with you. It's about being a complete embodied community that experiences Unitarian Universalist faith development. Let's go to the next slide. So exploring your understanding, and this is just a marvelous invitation. Sometimes we feel as adults that we have sort of figured it out, where our faith development, we've reached a capstone and we're just there, you know. But I'm changed every day by my encounter, especially changed by my many encounters with youth. I need to go further into my own grounding. Many times adults say to me, it's just about making sure that youth understand our principles and sources. That's well and good, but they need a broader understanding of the embodiment of the relational qualities of what it means to exhibit these values, not just to be able to rattle off what are the principles and what are the sources. And let's go to the next slide. So the Teacher Development Renaissance Module, for those religious educators here with us this evening, you may have taken this. It's an important Renaissance module because it introduced a new paradigm, which really introduced the fact that teachers were a small group ministry to themselves. If they took time outside of just who's scrambling to cover what, do we have enough resources, do we have enough materials, but if they actually go deeper with one another, why am I called to work with this particular age group? What am I hearing in class that's opening up a new consideration and my own understanding of the worldview? How can I name with these middle schoolers or high schoolers that I'm going through a particularly tough time in my life? If I have a solid teaching team where I'm actually taking time to actually do some spiritual grounding with that team separate to the time when we're with the youth, that means I have a safe place to say perhaps to my partner, my heart is so heavy this week, I really need help, friends. You know, something is changed when you approach the endeavor as a small group ministry. There's some marvelous resources that are available. Also, using a small group ministry model with youth group itself is quite applicable. And both Gail Forsyth Bale and Helen Zidowicki have created some marvelous resources because this really helps them go deeper in their own value exploration as well. Let's go to the next slide. This also is a marvelous graphic as well as concept. Some of you who have taken the Youth Ministry Renaissance module have already encountered this. This UU ministry, this web of youth ministry graphic can actually be applied to many other aspects of congregational life, not just youth ministry. But this is an important paradigm to look at, that there are all these core pieces, as opposed to historically, many people just said, we've got those five steps, we've got those six elements, whatever it was, this was our approach, this was our sort of concrete model, how to do youth ministry. But if you looked at it and also discussed it with the other adults on your team, what are we doing to really help them understand spiritual development and not to presume that we know it all, but encourage them to express their own understanding of their own spiritual practices or development? What are we doing to attend to pastoral care? Because that should always be uppermost. And developing the capacity for youth to be lay pastoral care providers. There's a marvelous chaplaincy training. If it hasn't happening in your region or your district, they are available. This is marvelous for youth and adults. But making sure that you understand, again, getting back to that team approach, talking to your minister and DRE and sharing any pastoral concerns. But pastoral care, if we can't exhibit genuine, fond regard and attentiveness to each other's needs, including the youth, then we're missing the boat. Identity formation, we have to be aware, especially understanding human development and the needs of teens, younger teens and older teens in their own identity formation. Covenantal leadership, that is the flag, that is the absolute core piece of all, which means how do we pledge and promise to be together? Often I've seen adults step back at the time of covenant building. It's important at that moment to be transparent and share your own pledge and promise of how you're going to be with them and how you're going to be with the other adults, and that you are compelled sometimes to share, especially unpacking what confidences mean and confidentiality. All that's a part of expressing covenantal leadership. Multi-generational relationships. Look for those avenues and opportunities where the youth group isn't just sitting waiting for the social action committee saying, why don't you all come and do this aspect of this event? Be that advocate in the greater congregation. Look for where there is that good fit, where youth can step up and be a part of a multi-generational expression of something that's important in your congregational life. And of course, faith exploration, because that's truly what it's all about as well. And don't forget, justice making. When we get fired up and share that with your youth and realize that we can be inspired by the courage and the tenacity and the remarkable capacity of youth to stand with those who are being unfairly treated. And embracing beloved community, so important, because we're trying to create that in our congregations as well as in the greater world. This is really a whole workshop in itself, just going through this. But I hope you save this graphic and actually do share it with your other leaders. Let's go to the next slide. Youth are thirsting for spiritual deepening. This isn't just an abstraction. This is a concrete reality. It's strange to speak of spiritual deepening as a concrete reality. Every demographic, every trend in studying all different faith traditions indicate that especially youth and young adults are seeking to have vitally alive, spiritually deepening experiences. This isn't just about articulating a faith. This is about looking deeper at that which can help navigate them through the rest of their lives. And this is something that can really resonate deeply in your youth group if you allow this opportunity for going deeper. Next slide. So that means, oh my gosh, you have to grow in your own spiritual practices and your own self-awareness around how you react to spirituality. Perhaps that's a packed term for you. That would be a really great discussion to have of how many people do have a reaction to what spirituality means. There's lots of definitions, but folks, get over the hurdle, get over whatever reticence you have, the word spiritual or spirituality. This is about sharing with youth how to help them get a little bit of peace in their hearts with something that they can do anywhere, anytime. And it is a skill that they can share with adults and embrace in a multi-generational way. Look for those opportunities in your congregation. Perhaps there's a sitting sangha. Have the youth group session. Just meditate that week. Join the sitting sangha or the memorial garden tending. Have the youth group go and help in the memorial garden. Center yourself before you do that. Do a contemplative walk. Find a local labyrinth. Do Zen tangles. That's a great multi-generational activity. I'm getting worked up, but I think there's so many different types of ways to engage in spirituality. And that we also have a tremendously rich history in our tradition to inform these practices. Going back to the transcendentalists who honored the world's religions and honored the multiple ways to engage with spirituality. So take time to explore this. Next slide. And I just jumped ahead. I did this last time too. Here's the list to consider. I go and I have labyrinths all over Mid-America and I find them and I invite youth, if they're in a nearby congregation, to join me at those labyrinths, because that is a powerful activity to do with youth. But you got to model the practice. The practice is the key part of this, because a spiritual element, if it's just a random aside, doesn't really inspire youth to consider something that they can do on a regular basis or share narratives. So the way that Nelson Mandela, for all of his years in prison, did regular praying and regular contemplative practices in his own little tiny cell, no one could take away that spirituality from him. So, yes, there is a list of labyrinths around the U.S., and I'd be happy to send that to you later. But I'm going to let Kim pin the chat box. But I got, so let's go to the next one. And this is Jenica.
Thanks, Nancy. So we've been talking at you for quite a while, and we are very curious to hear what you think as well. So I have a bunch of questions that I would love to hear your thoughts on. Feel free to answer any of them, and also feel free to share with us, you know, what's confusing for you or what do you need more clarification on. So if you would, type your questions or your responses to the questions I have into the chat box, and then Kim will moderate, and Nancy and I will bounce off each other to try and answer as best we can. So I'm wondering, in addition to what's confusing or what do you need clarification on, how do you imagine using these competencies in your congregation? What ahas or insights have you had during this webinar? And what do you think is going to be most challenging for you moving forward implementing these competencies in your congregation?
I think we're waiting while everybody's typing.
And no, it's not a math class. I saw a few folks say, gosh, I wouldn't be there if it was a math class.
So the comment is, I'm looking forward to sharing this with my youth board and other advisors, and also to invite them to participate in future webinars. Fantastic. They're going to be great. Our biggest challenge right now is getting enough adults to support our youth. There's some virtual nodding in sympathy with finding adults to support youth. So another question, I'm a new volunteer, so I'll have to get a bit more experience before I know how to integrate them into my role, but I'm going to look up the safety policy ASAP. We'll be covering safety in youth ministry in our November webinar series. Another comment about lacking in willing volunteers who are not already overburdened. Are the next level of webinars scheduled yet? Yes, they are. We have two webinars every month for the rest of the year, and you can find them all on UUA.org. We'll follow up with a link to that after this webinar series as well. My high school group has grown to 70 kids. Holy cow. And I'm also working on getting adults to help out. Our youth group ranges from middle school to high school and small. I'm struggling with engaging such a wide age range. Answer, Jenica, if you have anything to offer for any of these, please let me know and I will just, slow. Another comment, I am eager to consider the youth we have this year and how they would be engaged in the larger church. I find it difficult to know about all the things going on and find I can't trust everyone's ability to tell if an activity or group would be good for youth. Everyone seems to think that their thing is perfect for youth.
That's really true, and I think that is the unique role that we as adults in youth ministry get to play in congregations, is being able to discern what is going to be a good fit for youth and what isn't, and also to be able to involve youth in that conversation of how they want to fit into the church. I don't know. I'm still totally stuck on the trying to get more adults to volunteer with youth ministry, because I know that is a very common struggle that many congregations have. And one thing that has come up for me is knowing that if we can set small, reasonable expectations for a large number of people rather than large expectations for a few number of people, people are more interested and willing to engage with youth ministry. So I'm wondering if there are ways, you know, not knowing the specifics of your congregation, but wondering if there are small ways that adults can plug in to building relationships with youth that don't require them to dedicate 5 hours a week to be able to do youth ministry. One thing that is coming down the pipeline, and I can get it to you ASAP if you request it, is we've got a new curriculum coming out called Bringing the Web to Life. That's by the Office of Youth and Young Adult Ministries. And one of the workshops in there is on building multi-generational connections. And it asks for the facilitators to find a couple of adults from various generations in the congregations to just meet with the youth and have conversations about what it was like coming of age for them. And that's a, you know, one small way to begin to build relationships, because I don't want to volunteer for things that I'm don't feel connected to. So if you can build that connection first, then people are more willing and interested in committing their time as well.
And Jenica's being humble. She created the Bringing the Web to Life, and it's wonderful. It's going to be a great resource.
Okay. This one has a few people who have said something similar, but we struggle with youth who are already overscheduled and exhausted, and what they want more of all is a place to hang out and talk. But I love the idea of showing them that web and seeing if we can summon some interest in other ways of getting involved with the congregation. And there are many other comments about overscheduled youth and how that can be a conflict. Any thoughts on that one, Nancy or Jenica?
Well, one, don't just make it the eye of the needle. If there's just one physical opportunity, you know, that really winnows down the possibilities. I'm really heartened by the groups that actually take time to virtually check in with one another, you know, to create, whether a Facebook group, I mean, that seems impersonal, or even do a Skype session. I mean, there's just ways to do this that are creative, and or meet up somewhere else, you know, the local farmers market, you know, on that Saturday as opposed to a Sunday. But just having this one bricks and mortar understanding, this is our one way to encounter one another, is quite limiting. You know, you could create a poetry corner, some sort of the shared site where folks through the week are sharing music links, dialogue, and of course you always want at least two adults, you know, and also not just observing, contributing. I've just heard this great song and it really resonates with me and I wonder why and what do you think, or this poem I just keep, or I had these birds sitting on my windowsill and it's just bringing me such joy, and you know what, that sounds bizarre, but just making sure that there's different ways to encounter one another. You know, if it's always just this one approach, oh gosh, anyway, my face looks pained when I say it, so I'll back off.
Well, that's a really good point, Nancy, that if youth aren't coming to church, then how can you go to them? Even if you can't meet with them physically in person somewhere, how can you connect with them online through a Facebook group? And one of the future webinars will talk a lot about online communication with youth and how to do that safely and appropriately. I think I lost my train of thought. They'll come back.
Sure. I just saw one on resources for curriculum. Definitely look at Bringing the Web to Life, this brand new one. It's a leadership development. I mean, that really is a great starting point for your youth group. But I mentioned the small group ministry. You know, some smaller congregations go, what? You know, we already are a small congregation. Why would we consider small group ministry? Because the model allows for a different kind of conversation. And it's not a free-range conversation. It is a values base. It is a faith in conversation with youth leading and helping, and they're prepared. I mean, there's a series of readings and ways to, you know, reflect on some of these questions. And it's powerful, powerful. I seem to be getting worked up as we go along. So.
It's true, Nancy. You're very animated tonight. Many of our youth don't come to church because they don't like the free style of our youth group, which is youth-led. Those who come tend to use it as more of a hangout. How can we engage the group more?
Well, I hate to just keep repeating, bringing the web to life, but the very first workshop in that is on based on the web of youth ministry, and it goes through each of the components of the web, and then it invites youth to think about what they'd like to see in their congregation and in their youth spaces that address particular areas of the web that are maybe being underserved. And each workshop comes with a little taking it home component so they can continue to reflect and think. And in that particular taking it home is a an invitation to write a proposal for a program that they would like to see so that youth are invested in the creation of something that goes beyond just a conversation hangout time if that's not something that they're interested in doing.
I think that's it by way of questions. There's some requests for curriculum and resources, which we're also going to be following up with after this webinar is over. So we'll give you links to the things that Jenica and Nancy have shared and any other. Well, we're going to comb through this chat. And if there are any other questions that we didn't get to, we will also post the links to those answers as well.
So shall we go to the next slide, or are we still in this? Okay. So I am first and foremost, my ministry is in religious education, and I'm always thinking about the developmental needs. We are so free to be you and me where we're not thinking about what youth are truly needing as they develop as human beings, and we're missing some core pieces. There's a wonderful resource called Nurturing Children and Youth by Tracy Hurd. There are two sections in that specifically to do with middle school age youth as well as high school age youth, but both say what Jenica referenced earlier, there needs to be encounters with other adults in some way or form for them to feel like there is someone that they can talk to outside of their own parents or even youth advisors. And that comes in, you know, coming of age mentors, that comes with bridging mentors, that comes with just relationship with the minister, relationship, you know, with other adults who are interested. That is a developmental need. They also have a distinct developmental need to name that which is most heavy upon their hearts, that pastoral concern, that place where they can't, maybe all week long, they cannot name how heavy it feels to walk through the daily, you know, regular routine of their life. They need somewhere to safely lay that burden down for a few minutes, name it, not have someone rescue them, but just to lay it down and just have a safe group that loves them and affirms them. This is a developmental need. It's also a developmental need for all ages to be together. Think of what if on a Sunday morning, it wasn't just a worship service, but it was a creative collective where people were bringing the best in their creativity. What if the fellowship hall was transformed into a place where people were bringing musical instruments and collage making? This is a way to encounter one another and say that there is more to life than just the daily routine. This is a part of celebrating creativity as well as growing in our faith by sharing with one another. So that developmental needs, have some time with your team, meet with your DRE, maybe even go to the teacher training for religious educators, the other volunteer religious educators in your congregation or the folks who are stepping up with the RE classes, because hopefully there's something in that about developmental needs as well. Let's go to the next one. Or actually, this is a discussion question for you all to respond as well. Folks, it will die fast if it's an adult-driven. That is true. That is true. But also, you can bring your full humanity of who you are as an adult to it, and it will not squelch the experience as well. So let's definitely go to the next one, because I see it's already almost the... So how can the experience for you in youth ministry become a part of your own faith development? If you feel like this is something where you have to overfunction, maybe you were thinking like when Jenica described, you need to be this dazzling star and be all things to all people and solve the problem for the congregation of why, for some reason, the number of youth attending is dropping off. You can't rescue a system, but you can be authentic and fully present and bring your best self as well as your full self and actually grow in your understanding of what it means to be a Unitarian Universalist. I am changed by every encounter I have with youth because I prepare my heart and mind to be changed by the encounter. I anticipate that I will grow in my faith because I'm thirsting to grow in my faith with my encounters with youth, as well as going deeper and reflecting so I can be a mirror back to them when they say, how do I navigate this next step? Or what's a resource? Or what's an idea that will help me, you know, go forward? So thinking about your own faith development, even exploring what that means, it really bears your attention. Should we go to the next one?
Yeah, so in addition to those discussion questions that I hope that you'll share with your ministry teams, I would love for you to reflect individually as well on some questions. And again, these slides will be available later for you as well. But what might your youth ministry look like if you spent more time helping adults build relationships with youth? How might that shift the culture of your entire congregation? What might your youth ministry look like if you spent more time helping adults build relationships with youth? And outside of youth ministry, in what ways do you personally want to grow spiritually? And I don't know if we've mentioned yet the Tapestry of Faith curricula. They've got Tapestry of Faith curricula for all ages. So there's also a lot of curricula for adults that have specific themes and focuses, and that might be an interesting way to grow spiritually with your advising team.
Spirit in Practice is a great resource, and it really works well with late adolescents as well as young adults.
And my last reflection question for you to ponder is, what skills, assets, or resources do you have that would help your team develop in the competencies? What are you particularly or naturally good at or have been working on for quite a while that you could share with your, that you could do some skill sharing with the rest of your team so that you can all continue to grow and develop?
The Tapestry of Faith vision statement became a centering, guiding, it's not a document in my world, it's actually scripture. And it was created about 11 years ago now when the first idea came to pass of creating this online series. And the reason it's so powerful, it's a relational description of who we are trying to grow in community. It's not just a tick box. These are the ideas that we're going to study academically. This is the stuff that we want to cover. This is about understanding that all people are lovable beings of infinite worth, imbued with the powers of the soul, and we are obligated to use our gifts, talents, and the potentials in the service of life. That's just the beginning of this vision statement. This is my thesis thought to everything that I do in faith development and everything I do with youth. And there are so many, there are six items to this vision statement. I'm not going to go through it all now. Use it as a reflection document. Use it as, not just, I don't even want to call it a document. Use it as a way to think about how can we embody, there's an aspect in it about making sure that we understand that we are moral agents capable of making a difference in the lives of other people, challenging structures of social and political oppression, promoting the health and well-being of the planet, acting in the service of diversity, justice, and compassion. Even if that was a reflection question for a youth group session, what does it mean to be a moral agent? Do I have to do this alone? Do I stand for people? Do I stand with them? Huge understanding. The Tapestry of Faith vision statement, I just really encourage you to explore it. Of course, the Web of Youth Ministry. And again, as Jenica has mentioned, bringing the web to life, that is a great way to begin. some exploration of that. And then, and it's a very concise, very easy to navigate guidebook, the Youth Ministry Advising Guidebook. And for those of you who haven't seen it, it's actually just a couple years old. I think it was 2013. I've used it quite a lot for basic youth advising workshops, and it really is important to look at as a resource. Next slide.
Oh, a question just popped up that I simply must answer. Are there discussion boards or chats like this for people to continue having discussions like this and share ideas? And, okay, so if you go onto UUA.org, you can search for the paid youth minister, what is it? I think it's just paid youth minister, youth ministry email list. So that's one resource. There's also an advisor's email list that you can get connected with. If you're a religious educator, there's the REACH email list and the LAREDA email list. So that's a really good way to stay connected via email. And then there's also a religious educator's Facebook group. So if you just search for UU religious educators, it'll be the first thing that pops up. Because that's so important to continue these conversations. And hopefully you've found some people through the chat box that you want to stay connected with, and maybe even start a formal or informal learning community to continue to think through these ideas together.
And for those of you who might be in Mid-America region, there's the Mid-America Youth Advisor Network, which they're thinking about opening up for other regions. But this is sort of the first professional association for anyone in youth ministry, including religious educators, and they have an annual gathering as well as a Facebook page. So look for MYAN, Mid-America Youth Advisor Network.
So next steps, we are going to give you a little bit of homework, I am sad to say. No, I'm grateful to say, because it's all about continuing these conversations as we move on. So your first next step is to share this webinar with people that you know in youth ministry that weren't able to see it live. Share the recording with them and start a conversation with them about these national standards of excellence in youth ministry. And second, like I mentioned earlier, take a look at the expectations or the job descriptions for yourself, for volunteers, for staff in youth ministry, and compare them with the competencies and see where they line up, see where you might need to do a little bit of adjusting, and see what gaps need to be filled. And third, create a plan for your own personal development, spiritually and in building skills, so that you can be a competent companion for youth as they are going on their spiritual journey.
I mentioned it last time, go back for a moment. As that penguin sort of precariously takes next steps, realize, folks, that the closer we stand with one another, that means that none of us will fall. So let's remember that as a core relational piece. And now onto the next.
So I have some closing words for you. And these are by Michael A. Schuller. We have reached the end of this time for gathering of memory and for letting the imagination play with future possibilities. We have enjoyed magic moments and edified each other. Shall it be concluded then? Or will this adventure now commenced continue? Our separate paths converging, meeting, merging in the unending quest for love more perfect. The joyous struggle for meaning more sufficient and life more abundant. Is this ending to be an ending or merely prelude to more new, more glorious beginnings? I pose the question, and in your heart lies the answer.
This is the Youth Ministry Roundtable, and I need a makeover. My photo's not very happy, like everybody. But anyway, we are an engaged team that are fired up, and we have a vision, not just for the future, but for the here and now. So you'll be realizing this as you go through the year with us, if you're bold enough to take part of our webinar series. And we want to be in dialogue. We want to be in conversation. This is something near and dear to our hearts. So thank you all so much for taking part. It's perfect right there. The next month's webinar is on healthy youth-adult relationships with Evan Carvel-Zimmer. Is it Zimmer or Zimmer? Zimmer, right? Uh-huh. I should know that by now. And Eric Bliss. And that will be on October 11th and October 12th. And then I think Kim mentioned earlier that in November it's going to be on safety, youth, and that's with also Evan and Kim. And that's November 9th and 10th. So the last slide, I think, is just thank you. Or this is the last slide. It has been, there we go. It has been wonderful. We've had great attendance in both sessions, and it really inspires us as well as encourages us. So we want to be in partnership with you in this important work of Unitarian Universalist Youth Ministry. Good night, dear friends, and thank you.